Attention listeners, mark your calendars for Colorado Gives Day on December 10th. Support AfterSight and give to the causes you care about. Go to coloradogivesday.org/organizations/AfterSight between now and December 10th to make your donation.
Welcome to Blind Level Tech. This isn't just accessible tech talk. This is technology on a whole new level. We're showing you just how possible it is to live the life you want.
All right, and welcome back to another episode of Blind Level Tech. Of course, the show that talks about all things blind, all things tech, and a little bit of sandwiches here and there, too. I'm your host, Evan Starnes, and I'm joined by my wonderful co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
Hey, it's so good to see you, even though I can't see you. It's another beautiful day in the neighborhood.
Well, first of all, it has been, we have backlogged quite a few episodes, and it feels like it's been a little bit since I've sat in front of this microphone and talked to you, Kelvin. But how have you been actually holding up lately in... What's kind of new on your end, real quick?
Yeah, I mean, it's quite the journey. I mean, when you invent a product and you think you're about ready to take it to market, and you say, "I got the perfect solution, it's going to change the world," and then you go to testing and it fails. You know, you're like, "There goes 7 years of your life,"
and then it fails again.
Yeah, it fails again, and it keeps failing and keep failing, and you kind of pick yourself back up. And just for everybody to know, the Seeming Canes will be on hold until the end of the year. We'll be launching version 4 at the end of the year. So we made the decision either this day of this recording to pull out of the rest of the year of selling Seeming Canes. And Seeming Canes will be back on the market next year. It'll probably be January. We'll probably launch it at ATI. ATI, maybe even CES.
CES would be a cool time to launch it, but I mean, it is very early. Unfortunate.
I mean, I think we can hit ATI and make it, but again, I've seen a lot of failure in this invention, and whoever thought a lighted blind cane would be so difficult to make.
Right. But hey, I'm glad I have mine, but I'm really glad to have Lucy Kutchman. There we go. Lucy Kutchman from this company Quinsight on today with BLT. Yes, gotta love the enthusiasm. But Lucy, welcome to Blind Level Tech. It is great to have you on.
Thank you. Thank you both. Appreciate you. Appreciate being on Blind Level Tech. Happy to be here today. Excited to talk with you guys. More in depth.
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, Lucy, kind of tell us a little bit about, what do you do?
I'll give you a little introduction.
Just a little bio here.
How we got here. I can make it quick here. So, I, for many decades, I was a corporate consultant. I worked for one of the large consulting firms. It was awesome. But in 2016, I turned 50 years old, and that was, you know, milestone time. And decided I did no longer want to make big companies bigger, which is really what I specialized in. And so I made a shift in my career, and I decided I wanted to work with age 60 plus adults and technology. I've had lots and lots of hands-on experience in all kinds of technologies. I started working with captioned phones. I implemented about 200 or so captioned phones for a company called CapTel. Then I worked for a startup called CarePredict, super fun. They did a really advanced wearable device that used something called predictive analytics in healthcare. I was the head of implementation for them, and I traveled all over, put the solution in place. And then when COVID hit, another big change, I decided I wanted to help older adults in my own community, in Boulder, kind of the Boulder County area, the mountain regions, and so forth. So I left CarePredict and decided to focus on my own area. I started working with Boulder County and eventually got a contract with Boulder County to launch a program called Connect with Tech. And as part of that program, we implemented many Chrome. We settled on Chromebook computers. And we put about 350 Chromebooks in. Not only did we install them, but we trained folks. We supported them. We did whatever was necessary to get age 60 plus adults in Boulder County on these computers. We served rural communities, Boulder, Longmont, a lot of the different cities in Boulder County with these Chromebook computers. We were also able to get internet access for about, about 40 to 50 folks through an organization called PCs for People. They were hotspot devices. So had lots of fun, enabled a whole bunch of people with technology, with internet services and computers. We finished that, and then we decided, well, now we need to do a little bit more as far as education. So in July of 2023, we launched a new program called Empower with Technology. And that was, we were going to do semi-monthly programs on various areas of technology that age 60 plus adults wanted to get more knowledge about. Our most popular program so far was on AI, how AI would impact age 60 plus adults. I had standing room only in those classes, and it was a lot of fun in those workshops.
That must have been quite the experience. We call them mature folks.
Right,
They're like, AI. I'm like, oh, I can chat to this thing? I can answer
all my questions.
This is a little
exactly. We do hands-on demonstrations. We don't just get up there and regurgitate information. We make sure they touch the technology, they feel it, they see what it's about.
Understanding
they get demos.
Of it.
We've done smart homes, we've done wearables, we've done transportation, and this month we're doing age-related disabilities and technology. So that's how we're here.
That's awesome. Well, I feel like what I'd really like to know first when it comes to helping these folks out, because that's really the vast majority of our listener base here at AfterSight is, you know, the 55 plus community. But what do you feel like is like the biggest struggle? It could be device wise or just technologically wise for seniors.
Getting comfortable touching, feeling, setting up the technology, doing self-support on the technology. It's not getting the technology. Most folks have access to technology. Even folks that struggle with, you know, having enough money, we figure out ways to get them technology. It's all the touching it, feeling it, using it every day, getting comfortable. You all probably touch your computers and mobile phones and everything just many, many times per day, and as I do. And I try to get age 60 plus adults to do that same thing. Just constantly touch it, get used to it, get comfortable, use it. That's the biggest challenge that we have.
So do you find, what's interesting, this program sounds very similar to a program that I used to run here in San Diego, California. And we would provide window computers to people 65 and older and provide training and classes and so forth. But in my case, when I did this, granted, it was a deafblind guy teaching seniors how to, it was quite the experience,
right.
But, and they could see. And so that was always so do you find that there are some challenges with the way they think given the current design of way technology is, like the way their thought process works? Because a lot of time it's very paper-based. And so they're thinking, oh, I could just kind of do that. And they're not quite
right on it or push buttons.
Yeah. And so do you find that being a challenge at all?
Frankly, it's a spectrum. You know, sometimes I'm with clients and they're very advanced in technology and I learn things from them. So I have plenty of those clients. I have clients that I walk in the door, they're over 80 years old and they've never even heard of Google, right? That's our starting point, learning Google. So that's a lot of fun too. Most folks are in between. They've had some exposure to technology. Almost every single one of my clients has a smartphone. But whether they use that smartphone as the extent they could to improve the quality of their life, that's what we try to get to. It really is kind of all over the place. But one thing that's different about older adults is they did not start their, you know, when we really use computers is when we work, right? In our in college and in our careers. And that's when all of us, most of us started really using computers and technology. They went through college, they went through their careers, all those things without using computers and the technology that we had. There was technology, there were things there, but certainly not to the extent that we rely on it today. It's absolutely so not. They're still getting their comfort levels different, and it's they're, you know, smart people, capable people. They did awesome things during their career. They just were at a different place than people say in the work working in their careers today are with technology.
Oh, 100%. I mean, we had the dawn of the internet. I mean, that's a surprisingly recent yet advanced innovation.
Right.
What's interesting is, like, I was when we brought internet into my home, I was 10 years old with the first time we had internet.
About the same here.
Yeah. But I wanted to ask you, so kind of tell us a little bit about the curriculum that you guys are using to teach these individuals, because obviously there got to be some structure to it that kind of give them the best opportunity to be successful.
While keeping it tailored to the individual.
Sure.
Yep.
So what we do, when we do a workshop, they're always do two in person and one on Zoom, and they're always 2 hours. The first hour is content based. And then the second hour is unstructured, and it's a time for them to ask questions that come up during the content that we haven't had a chance to address or bring in technology devices. But for the first hour, we'll do a little bit of overview about the technology to level set everyone, just to get everyone in the same place. And then we'll talk about why we're addressing this technology. What is it about this particular technology that would be of interest? Once we get into that, we address, you know, the problem itself, what the technology is designed to overcome. Then we start to get into the actual technologies that are going to be used by the age 60 plus adults. And it's really important for me, as much as I can, to bring devices in that they can touch and hold and use. If I'm using my mobile phone to demonstrate something, I have it casted to the overhead screen so they see how we do this. Like with the transportation one, and they were talking about Uber and Lyft, I had them do everything they could to pull up an Uber or Lyft ride, except push that final confirm button.
Yeah, get a ride,
experience
actually.
Doing something, again, that's probably easy for you two and easy for me, challenging for them to do Uber Lyft. So having them actually do it is the most powerful thing I can do.
I mean, I take the easy route. I just call Ira and my Lyft account
do it.
Connected, and then they
that's for one me. Way to do it. And really, with these folks, like, I think I'm curious about your thoughts on this, because I feel like when we try to teach, older adults technology, we just try to bring it all in all at once and overwhelm these folks. And I also think, you know, because they don't necessarily want to not use it. It's really, I think, a matter of actually getting that ball rolling first. And then once you've gotten that ball rolling initially, it's a little easier to kind of coax them along and introduce them to more and more and more.
Exactly. And, you know, when I do a lot of one-on-one training. I go to folks' homes, or I meet them at some of the H-Well senior centers, I meet them exactly where they're at. And that's part of the value proposition that Quinsight provides is a very tailored solution. So I have them do a little bit on technology. I can see where they're going. That's exactly where we start. I feel like I've gotten with a lot of practice and a lot of client exposure, I've gotten really good at, by the time that, say, 1 hour lesson is done, they've progressed where they're at with technology. And they're excited. And one of the key things I also do is, you know, they'll start to touch their technology, and I say, just put that away for a minute. You know, just put that away. Let's just have a one-on-one conversation. I say, what are the three things you'd love to do with technology? What do you think it could change your life? And they let me know that. So we really focus on their three priority areas and getting them up and going and feeling comfortable using technology to promote those areas.
And three is the magic number, I think, for getting people into something. Now, before we'd actually hit record, we were talking about actually a little bit about Quinsight. Now, I didn't hear, maybe I zoned out earlier, but I do want to clarify for our listeners, is Quinsight basically the backbone of all of these tech workshops? And is it basically the backbone of the entire operation?
Yeah.
Or is it something completely different?
Yeah, it's Quinsight is my LLC that I use for consulting purposes. I've had it for 2 decades. I've used it in a variety of ways. But yes, Quinsight does 100% of the content development, the implementation, the support. I've had employees on. Sometimes it's just me. Sometimes I have employees. It depends on my workload. But we are sponsored by the Boulder County Area Agency for Aging.
BCAAA.
That's who, that's who really provides the funding for Empower with Tech, and that's who provided the funding through Connect with Tech. And they're awesome. We love our AAA in the Boulder area.
So do we. Yep.
I mean, if we get so we have two AAAs, but if we get broken down on the side of the road, we can get our AAA to get us off the side of the road. And as we get older, we can still get our technology and get our services.
That's right.
Absolutely.
So can you kind of tell us, as you have built this out and then you decided to go to the Chromebook, did you guys kind of go to the Chromebook because it's easier to troubleshoot and it's basically internet based and it's easier to kind of do a full wash and not lose everything. And it had a lot of, I would say, dummy proof features to it. That way you could rejuvenate. What kind of made you guys go to the Chromebook?
That's a great question, Kelvin. And you absolutely are spot on. That's exactly why we selected the Chromebook. We did a bit of, so we had a budget through a federal grant. We quickly eliminated Apple devices. While a lot of people would love to have iPads and Apple devices, they're just for
they're
how
expensive.
Much money each device cost, it just was cost prohibitive. So we were pretty close on Windows devices and Chromebook devices as far as the pricing that we could get. We usually could get a device between $300 and $400 per month. Windows had a big advantage in that we could do remote access. I use software called TeamViewer, and I really love, like, I could get onto the, you know, if I couldn't get to someone's house, I could support them with their permission with a TeamViewer session, and really nice, robust experience. But Windows, if someone's learning it from scratch, they've never touched a Windows computer before, it's complex. You know, it's complex, it's buggy, it can be challenging. I've been a longtime Windows computer. I love my Windows computer, but that's because I'm used to the environment. So exactly right. We selected the Chromebook because it's just an easier computer technology to learn from scratch.
Yes.
And it really does everything that most folks would want to do anyway.
Right.
I mean, you're not going to be playing like games or doing graphic design, but I mean,
I did some beta testing for Chromebooks on this last, in April, no, March.
Right on.
At CSUN, and they're coming out with their new screen reader. And what was interesting is I've never used one. So I'm like, I don't know where everything is, but I was able to get a hang of it. And it's just really user friendly in a lot of ways that way as well.
Exactly.
And it tries to walk you through it too.
I
was surprised to hear that they were replacing Chromebooks. Now, I'm curious too, when you're at these different events and introducing people to new forms of technology, whether it be anything from smartphones to smart homes to AI, what are your clients the most, like, what's the hardest thing or piece of technology for them to embrace? I know for us, you know, a lot of older folks aren't the most comfortable with smart speakers, for instance.
Right. So I'm going to say things that are leading edge.
Uh-huh.
Right. So when you get something newish, say, for example, for the realm of different, you have hearing aids that are Bluetooth enabled. Right. And mm-hmm. you can connect them with Bluetooth and watch the TV directly having Bluetooth feed into the hearing aids.
The hearing aids.
Or same with the phone or your music system. Right. That's, first of all, setting that up, they typically are going to need help getting all that. Whereas like, you know, for us all, that's a 5 or 10 minute proposition to just, you know, pair up the Bluetooth, get it ready to go. And it's like, it's good to go.
Yeah.
They were just by themselves trying to figure that out. It would be a difficult proposition because it's sort of leading edge technology. So it's this, what I noticed when I do the setup and I get everything tested, ready to go, and it's end user friendly, then it becomes much easier for the person to be trained and to use the device. So it's really, it's the setup of anything that's like I said, I can describe it as leading edge, which encompasses a lot of things, but it tends
to be a lot of modern day
technology that's sort of like three years old or newer.
So and basically like the setup was like when I was trying to set up a Raspberry Pi computer, and I tell you, that was not easy. So basically you're helping those needing like their computer be already preset up and they got a nice sweet system.
Right.
Well, and it's one of those things too, where like to us or like to somebody like me, like coding a program sounds like completely like it just sounds very unfamiliar. And I mean, it's this, I've realized and what's helped put it into perspective for me is to kind of just think of it that way, because for a lot of folks that haven't touched it, this is ridiculously intimidating. And I definitely say, I feel like, I like the fact that you put emphasis on the one-on-one trainings, because I think sometimes if you're trying to teach somebody something, you know, you could walk them through with over the phone or whatever, but sometimes it's literally just easier to sit next to them and walk them. I almost said handhold. I don't like that term too much, but just walk them through.
Come on, Heaven, don't you want to hold my hand?
I'm not a beetle.
Exactly. But Evan, it also presents a huge frustration. I would love to be able to scale and grow my business.
Exactly.
I love doing things one-on-one in person. But if it's just me and a handful of employees doing that, there's just so many people we can reach. And I'll put it back on you all, since you live in the world of technology. And but I would, if you have ideas about, like, you know, somehow using virtual reality or some way of like I could connect with somebody in San Diego or in Detroit, right? And it could feel like a one-to-one experience where I can look at that person and I can interact with that person and have a meaningful experience teaching them about technology.
Yeah. I mean, pretty powerful. And you have a remote access on Zoom if you get on the pay scale. And so there are a couple options there.
Windows is a little tough.
But
I wouldn't, and you're on, I would have considered Chromebook, VR, though.
So I can't remember if Google Meet has a remote control like Zoom does.
But, it does not.
But I think Zoom is one of those, it kind of does all the gamuts and it works on all systems.
Right, yeah.
Precisely. And it kind of gets you around the whole, you can give them remote control access, you can see their computer. But it's getting them able to dial that in, that's going to be the challenge.
Yeah.
And
because it's understandable that you want to expand out of state, because you know this is obviously a not just a national but a worldwide, a global issue.
Absolutely.
Here, so
yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, I know here in San Diego we have San Diego Futures Foundation, and they have senior program training classes every single day. And they're barely scratching the surface here in San Diego.
Right.
And, absolutely. One other thing I wanted to ask you, and this is the one thing that has hit my family pretty heavily at a certain time.
Sure.
is spam, and we're not spam, but
scamming.
Yeah. And some of those, so especially the more creative ones, like especially the email ones, like how are you really helping them understand like how to troubleshoot that problem?
I love your questions. They're like, they're such great questions. Cause I have to address these a lot with my clients. Mm-hmm. So with anything with scamming or any of that, first of all, I tell them if anyone's asking anything about anything financial, that's mm-hmm. they're proactively asking you about credit cards, bank accounts, mm-hmm. PayPal, any of that, just it's a firm no. Don't just yep. hang up, whatever, however they've contacted you, hang up. They call the company directly. They can call me. I'm happy to help. We are so committed to making sure that our clients do not get scammed mm-hmm. whatsoever. Mm-hmm. In fact, the Boulder District Attorney has a person that's a full-time person just for this area to prevent it. Right. So that's really the big one. The second one is if someone's coming to them proactively and they're mm-hmm. charming, you know, they're somehow it's like it's mm-hmm. too good to be true. Maybe there's just like you're connected with the person and it's like they're talking to you and it just feels like this perfect, great situation. You just start talking to this person, you know. Feel free to engage in that, but also be concerned, you know, especially if they have found you. And again, you know, the red light should really go on if there's any discussion of any finance, anything.
Mm. Oh, yeah. No.
Anything. I don't care if it's like, they want a $5 bill from you. Anything with finance, you know, your heckles should really go up at that point. You should be deeply concerned. And again, basically disconnect from that person because you're likely in the process of a scam. Now maybe it will start super duper small and they'll grow it. But I'm seeing scammers get so clever.
Oh yeah.
They do these like trying to connect with people personally and then mm-hmm. they take advantage mm-hmm. of them.
They get those desperate.
Those are the ones I'm seeing that are just, we get those funny emails with the misspellings and they're saying like, mm-hmm. oh, I'm Joe.
This is somebody from Microsoft. Your computer is compromised.
Yeah, I'm this number. Person from Nigeria like and I've ran into some money, but I need some help getting it to the United States. All this there.
Yep,
most people don't fall for those. It's these like people who are super charming that mm-hmm. just, you know, they just prick at someone until they get into them in a kind of a soulful
personal
manner,
way.
And then they take advantage of them.
Yep.
One of the things that's really unfortunate.
If gift cards ever get brought up in your conversation.
What's that?
If gift cards ever get brought up in your conversation.
No, not really. Yeah. Why do you say?
Because what I tell people is, if they're asking for money, so they're going to want you to get gift cards. Because then is not trackable money.
Sure.
I had a situation when I first launched my robotic blind cane where I had somebody that wanted to donate a bunch of money. And I was like, okay, cool. But I needed to get a gift card for the money to go to and stuff. And so I started tracking it. And then I asked my dad, who is in the fraud industry, and he goes, That is 100% fraud.
Okay.
If anything related to that, another thing that I have learned, and this one is mainly for businesses, but customer service support, and you providing that customer service, and then they spin it back on you. And so, like, for example, Shopify is one of the platforms I use for selling products.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. And mm-hmm. they're saying, oh, your bill's due. Okay. I open it up. No.
That's and not true. You
don't
fact
click
check
on any
them.
Of those
you
links. And also them. Don't, exactly. don't. And, uh-huh. and, but the thing is, it's so good. And so what I have come into practice is the rule of thumb, anytime there is an issue or something that came through your email, go directly to the source. So in this case, my Shopify store,
right?
I went directly to the store because there's going to be a notification of that record being emailed to you. And so by knowing that that record being emailed to you, it's going to be in your dashboard at that website.
Yeah,
exactly. So, yeah, exactly.
And so it's, for me, I never click on any links unless I know who the person is directly.
Sure.
And then I go directly to the source, and especially bank stuff. Like, I don't ever open up an e-statement from any of my banks from my email.
Right.
I go directly to the website and download them that way.
Right.
Exactly. So, yeah. And okay, now I just completely lost the point I was trying to make initially, but I either way am glad that you guys put emphasis on these, because unfortunately there are more and more and more scams coming out each and every month, every day, pretty much. And the majority of people that are targeted are, you know, 50s, 60s. And I think one of the key takeaways that I've had from those scams is that I've fallen personally for false scams that look like they're from like a colleague, and the name reads right and everything else reads right, but it's fake. The gift card issue, that's a whole nother topic I'm not going to actually go down, but the key
element in every single one of these scams that we've talked about is someone has proactively come to you. Right now, if AI gets to the point where it launches an idea in someone's mind to like proactively start something that becomes a scam, then we're in a whole new can of worms. But
that's a whole can of worms. I've been afraid
of all these scams is someone has come to you, and someone has come to you, and something financial is involved. Like I guess small amounts of cash, a gift card, you know, something on your credit card, your bank account, anything of that nature. Those two elements should really concern someone. So just to really simplify it to those two elements helps when you're talking about, you know, age 60 plus adults when there's a potential scam.
Yeah, absolutely.
We got to protect our elders. And
we sure do.
I tell you, one of my biggest concerns, like I have two grandparents and two grandmas in their 90s now. I'm like, stay away from me. You gotta protect them. Right now.
You don't.
We'll take care.
You don't
of
want them to get. Way. You don't want them to lose what they have either. Anyway.
Yeah. Yeah. So
absolutely.
Yeah. So how can people get a hold of you? And how can they reach out for your service?
Well, they certainly, you know, they can come to quinsight.com, my website. So that's an easy way. So again, we're really oriented to Boulder County right now because we're sponsored by AAA. There's a time and I may expand what I'm doing outside of Boulder. I'm keeping really busy just in Boulder. Boulder County is just being a great sponsor, and I'm doing a whole bunch of things just here. But I would love to expand into other areas of Colorado, other states. And it's just a matter of finding a really nice virtual platform that feels I'm there. I don't know if you guys watched the Netflix series. It's called Three Body Problem. Do you know that one?
Haven't heard of it.
Oh, they have this super cool like virtual reality headset in this one. It's all it's all fiction, make believe. But in that virtual Sci-fi. Reality, you can like be with someone right there. They look like them, and you can smell things and touch things, and it's this really cool virtual reality experience. I'd love if that existed. I could go crazy expanding my business if that existed, but
I mean,
like Ready Player One, like that movie.
Ready Player One, exactly. Great movie. One of my favorites. Great movie.
But there is one thing that we cannot enjoy, though, over VR at all. And if you're catching my drift, Kelvin, that particular thing is...
The sandwich of the week.
Heck yeah. All right. So on BLT here, I'll give you a little rundown, Lucy. We have a segment here called the Sandwich of the Week. And on the Sandwich of the Week, we like to ask people what their favorite sandwich is or what kind of sandwich they would like to have. And we've gotten some unique ones out here. So I'll kind of get the ball rolling here with my first one. And then I'll... Calvin, if you want to go after me, and then we'll have Lucy, that'll give you some time to pick yours. How's that sound?
Sounds perfect.
Awesome. Okay, so my sandwich of the week, I treated the family. Well, I didn't treat the family. They treated me, but I exposed them for the first time to Snarf's sandwiches. Oh, because
so good.
Right?
So good.
Because there's like... there's one in Boulder, and it's really conveniently located. And my sandwich for this week is a good classic French dip. I love French dip sandwiches. I love au jus. I enjoy dripping, salty, cheesy, crispy French dip sandwiches. So that is mine. But Kelvin, do you got a sandwich of the week?
Okay, so I call this the Bachelor roll up. And when I was single, and I haven't had one of these since I've been single, by the way. So when I was single, I used to take tortilla, flour tortilla.
Yeah.
And put American cheese on it and get tortilla chips and crinkle them up and lay it out like a quesadilla. Well, not like a quesadilla, kind of like a quesadilla, but I would roll it.
Sweet.
And then I would then throw it in the microwave. And yeah, just enough salt. Yeah, just enough cheese. And you had it all rolled up and you had the crunch like a quesadilla. And then you have your salsa.
Yeah.
And there's your bachelor roll.
Salsa. Roller. I wouldn't have even
thought. Oh my gosh. That sounds like like a little kid who's just super hungry and just has a few things in the house. We'll make it. And there's
exactly. That's why I call it the bachelor roll up. When you're a single man, you know, you don't got a lot in your house.
You just got to check off the dinner box and you got tortillas and shredded cheese. And there you go. And a microwave. So there you go. I thought I had you because I used to call mine the college Dia, but bachelor is a much better name. So I'm going to just use that from now on. Because those are always good and they're filling and full of protein and stuff. But yeah, Lucy, do you got a particular sandwich of the week?
I have to say my newer thing, you took it from me, Evan. We love Snarf's too in our family. We go there pretty regularly and we get Snarf's and go up to Chautauqua and do some hiking. And then we get those Snarf's. They're amazing. But I'll say probably my all time favorite sandwich would have to be a classic Reuben. Yeah, with the good sauce and the whole
sauerkraut and the cheese. Yeah, oh my gosh, Reubens are.
It's not something like I'd have every day and or I'd make or have it around my house, but when you have it in a restaurant and they do it upright, it's an amazing sandwich.
That is definitely an amazing sandwich. In any event, Lucy, I'd love to thank you so much for hopping on with us today and talking tech. I hope you had a good time.
Super. Super. Thank you so much, Evan. Thank you, Kelvin. Pleasure to meet both of you. And I look forward if we have another opportunity to work together.
Absolutely. I think the work that you're doing is both essential and just, it's just wonderful. It makes me happy to know that our ancestors, our relatives are all being cared for and that they're being given the same opportunities as we are and in an equal way.
Because the inevitable reality, Evan and Kelvin, and for me, is we're all going to be old one day.
Yep.
So
there you go. I'm glad you said that.
Our good karma taking care of older adults will benefit us someday.
Indeed, when we're
in that situation.
And keep us on track. You know, it'll keep us from losing track of technology. Absolutely.
Cool.
Absolutely. And before I wrap this episode up, We actually do have a mini series here as part of BLT that I have talked about before, but it has been around for a few weeks now, and we've got a few episodes cranked out, and it's called BLT Bites, and it's meant to be just little mini bite-sized episodes around 2-3 minutes, kind of covering very simple topics such as how to set timers and alarms with Siri, or how to change the wake word on your Amazon smart speaker. I don't want to trigger anybody's. Or how to turn voiceover on with Siri. Just one little topic, one little bite-sized piece with demonstrations. And that is a part of this BLT show. So BLT Bites are dropping every Tuesday between episodes. And check them out and really share them with your friends, your loved ones, family members, whatever it might be, because we want to get this out there, and we're really trying to we want this to be another option for older adults to be able to kind of go back and just listen to these little tutorials.
I love it.
And it doesn't have a whole bunch of fluffy fluff. It's just literally welcome to your BLT Bite.
Sure.
Goes to the point, and that's it. It wraps up. It doesn't sugarcoat anything or add too many extra tangent. There's no tangents. And for a guy like me, that's really hard. But but so that's been out for a few weeks. So yeah, if you haven't heard those, go check them out and share them with your and share them with your folks. And of course, the Audio Trekkers Hike is coming up on July 27th. And we've actually started a bit of a challenge now. So when you register for the hike, you can pick a particular team you'd like to be on. And that and each team is actually one of the shows. So you've got Blind Sight, The Blind Chick, and of course, BLT. And of course, you know what we're going to say. If you don't do BLT, you're a square. No, just kidding. But yes, the hike is coming up in almost a month. I'm actually really excited for it, too. And we got the Shine Music Fest. I don't actually have the date for that, but that's going to be a really cool music festival surrounded and really centered around accessibility. And there's going to be quite a few different folks, including some guests that we've had on BLT before, including Ted Taquichi, which will be really fun. So that is coming up. And of course, too, if you've got any questions or feedback for us, you know what to do. feedback@aftersight.org or 720-712-8856. In any event, I'm your host, Kevin
Starnes. Oh, boy, he got a new name.
Everybody. I got a new name. I just changed my name in this episode, believe it or not. I went through all the legal stuff while we were recording. No. Okay, that's too funny, though. Oh, I knew I was going to slip up one day. But
he's a secret.
We're finding I'm the a truth. Secret identity.
Conspiracy theory. Put a conspiracy hat on, you know.
Oh, Evan, thanks, Jonathan, for producing this.
You're really Sir Kelvin or Kevin.
Sir Kelvin Starnsby. I don't know. Our names have melded, but anyway, I'm your host, Evan Starnes. This is my co-host, Kelvin Crosby.
And plug in your device.